Yo, what's up, my friends and possible family and whoever else might be watching this. Just getting around to making another video. It's been a few days. I've been doing a lot of posting for my brother's website, blog posts and things like that, and haven't really got a whole lot of opportunity to do this, but I'm still in it. I'm still working hard at it. Like I said, I'm trying to do as many days as possible in the 365 that I have. My original intent was to do the 365-day challenge, and I'm at like day 14, and I think I've put out like 10 videos, something like that. So I'm not doing too terrible, but I'm also not completely on par. But as with anything in life, if you have too high of expectations, more than likely you're going to end up failing at some point. So just take it slow, take it easy, and that's kind of where I'm at with this. So today, I want to talk a little bit about, I'm actually going to try to edit this a little bit to where I get some like photos and things like that. So if you're listening on the actual audio version of this, you won't be able to see it. But if you're watching the video here on YouTube, hopefully you'll be able to see what I'm able to put in there. Fingers crossed on that one. Again, it kind of gets overwhelming with this stuff. I don't know if any of you have ever tried to do a full-blown post barrage like this, but it's overwhelming. And I can edit and I can do all these things, but to get it organized and focused around it, it's no easy task. It's kind of like it drains on you to where you just don't want to do it. So I appreciate anybody who does watch this. Hopefully you appreciate it too, and I provide some value for you guys. But today, like I said, I want to talk about the time I bought a house for $200. Sounds kind of crazy. Sounds like a hook that you would see maybe on some real estate ad or something like that. But to be honest, it all started with an ad like that. I got involved with a company called Fortune Builders 4 or 5 years ago now. I wanted to do something different. I was still riding bikes, I was still making money, but I wanted to do something different in the sense of branching out there. I was learning about investing, I was learning about finance, and I've got a bunch of friends that are involved with real estate. So I thought, hey, let me get in on this class, let me see what I can do. So I got on this class, I went to some seminars, I learned a bunch of stuff, I met a bunch of really cool people, a bunch of tactics and tricks and things like that, and I really didn't like it, you know, and to be honest, I liked the game of it, but I didn't really like a lot of the people in real estate. That's why I'm kind of passively involved now. I'm not as day-to-day involved as I originally had thought I wanted to be, but anyways, that's another story. So I got this course, I learned a bunch of stuff, and like I said, I just wanted to get involved, I wanted to do something. So after I learned these little techniques and stuff that they taught you about marketing and finding like off-market properties and things like that, I started doing a bunch of flyers. Like I was that guy that was just sitting at home with my girlfriend stuffing envelopes, you know, just putting envelopes in and mailing letters out to these addresses that I had found online. People like probate, people that inherit properties, recent divorcees, foreclosures, all these different things that would maybe lead to a possible low price property. So that's what I was doing. I was marketing. I was trying to find the lowest price I could and then negotiating around and seeing what I could get out of it. So I sent out hundreds of letters, you know, and it's just one big funneled system. You send out 100 letters, you get 20 replies, you get 5 phone calls, and one person, you know, might let you come out and see their house and be interested in the price you're willing to pay. So I did that. Eventually, without going too deep into it, I found a house. It was in West Greenville, which is a little bit of the ghetto. Kind of up and coming, but that's kind of saying, giving a little bit too much praise. But it was a decent area, a decent little house. I'm going to show you some pictures of it. And it was a cool little spot. And I bought it literally for $20,000. And cool, right? You know, what do you get for $20,000? Well, you get this house that I got. And I put $200 of my own money in earnest money. And then I found a personal lender or a private lender to give me the money to buy it. And then I worked that out later. But out of my own pocket, I paid $200 for this place. I went in. I paid $200 of my own money. And then I fixed it. And I spent like almost $15,000 of my own money. But that was now invested into it. So it was like the equity I had straight in it. It made it a lot nicer of a place. I rented it out. I wanted to prove to myself that I could buy something like this, that I could do something like this, that up to this point, I just bought toys, you know, cars and toys and crap and things that I didn't need, things that didn't provide actual wealth, you know, and this is my little reach out to try and do that. So, and I also wanted to learn, hey, how'd the process work? How does an investment property go? What's it like being a landlord? Things of that nature. like I said, I wanted to build some long-lasting wealth for myself, and up to this point, like, I really hadn't done that much, so I was ready to do something different. So yeah, up to this point, I hadn't really done, you know, built a whole lot of wealth for myself, so I was trying to do something different. I really didn't know what I was getting into. It was kind of a shot in the dark. I had taken that class, but I did have some money saved up, but not a whole lot, but I had some. Like I said, I put a little bit of my own money into it, but the actual purchase of the house just came with that $200 I had. I finally did get it. I inherited some tenants. It was a two-unit duplex, one upstairs, one downstairs. The guy upstairs was a godsend, one of the best people ever, paid his rent on time, super great person. But the downstairs was the worst people I could have ever possibly met. And when I say these people, I meant the people that I had, like, four different tenants that came and gone, that came and went in the downstairs, and they were all the exact same people. There's statistically across the board, it was the same attitude, the same, like, you know, Mr. Privilege. Like, I had one lady one time, she told me, she's like, yeah, you know, it's because you get all your money from your parents, you know, because I had a nice car and I'd pull up, you know, to get rent. And they hated me. They literally didn't like me because they thought I was Mr. Privilege. I'm like, lady, I don't get anything from my parents at all, ever. I don't know what you're talking about. But anyways, I try to keep it cool, and people just, they were pretty rough. And what it did, most people get into the landlord game, they have one bad experience and they're out. They're like, nope, done. That was the worst thing ever. But the people who get ahead, they learn from it. And that's what I told myself I was going to do. I wanted to learn from the experience. You know, I bought the house where I bought the house. Like, I knew what I was getting into. It was not the nicest of neighborhoods. It was just a project that I wanted to take on. I didn't get emotionally involved with it. I had no real attachment to it. It was just an experience and a project and a way to put some money away. So I learned a lot about humanity in that process. I learned a lot about the legal process and court process and, you know, tenants thinking they could sue me and trying to bring me through the ringer and this and that. And nothing ever happened from it, but they thought they could try because, you know, when you're living in poverty, to be honest, like, you're often a victim mentality person. So it was never their fault. It was always my fault. Like, I did something to them. Like, I'm the jerk that expected rent on time. You know, like, sorry, it's not that I'm an asshole. It's just that I like having rent. You know, I have bills to pay on this place. And I don't think they understood that a lot of times. So anyways, like I said, tenants were the worst for the most part. The guy upstairs, though, he was awesome. Paid rent all the time, and he kept my bills paid. So if the downstairs people were in transition in and out, or they weren't paying and I was evicting them or something, the guy upstairs was able to cover my bills for the most part. This guy is running around right here. Say hi, Ned. He's running around being a maniac. But after the last string of the douchebag tenants, I eventually said, you know what? I'm over this. Like, I'm going to get rid of this place. I knew what I could sell it for. It was, at the end of the day, it was basically a forced savings account. Like, I had a ton of money. Not only of the $15,000 I spent in it, it went up in value. And then I had been paying down the mortgage with my landlord or with my tenant's rent as well. So I actually had quite a bit of equity in it. So I sold it. Washed my hands of it, and I was like, done. I'm done with that side of town. I learned a lot. I'm going to take those lessons and go from it. So started looking for another place, a little bit nicer of a neighborhood, like a different part of town. Like, that was my goal. I wanted a 3-bedroom, 2-bath, and it had to be a fixer-upper. It needed to be something that challenged me and my skills. Like, I wanted to go in and do it myself. So I ended up finding the most perfect place ever. It's the place I'm in right now. I'm going to show you some photos of that as well. Like, it needed a lot of work, but nothing that I couldn't handle. Now, if you happen to watch my video about the time I bought the bar up in Wisconsin, I learned a lot remodeling that, a lot of construction skills, a lot of, like, laborer skills and things that I was ready to take on and do for myself. But the thing was, this place was the first time I was in charge, that I was actually doing it. Before, like at the bar or any other project I did, I was working under like a master carpenter. I was working under somebody who actually did know what they were doing. So if anything went wrong, they knew what to do. So this was my first time like really taking on the project myself and doing something on my own. So I was a little bit nervous, but I was confident in my abilities and I thought I could handle it. So got this place, I was ready to go. And like I said, it was 3 months of really, really hard work to get this place put together. One part of the house, like the awning goes like this. And then there's like the bit that hangs out so the water drains off, but then on the other side, the roof goes like this. So the water would just drain down into it, just drain down the siding, which you wouldn't think is a big deal. The problem was the owners in the past, they didn't maintenance it right. So the windowsill didn't have the caulking that it needed, and the water just sat there and it drained into the actual foundation of the house. So the sounds awful. Most regular people would be like, screw that. I don't want to mess with it. But I got a contractor in here. He gave me a quote on it. I used that as some leverage to negotiate the price down on the house. She gave me a few thousand more dollars off the purchase price, and I fixed it myself for $300. You know, like a contractor coming in, it was a very labor intensive job. A contractor coming in would have ended up charging me $5,000, and I did it with the materials. It was like $300, just some new wood and a whole lot of labor, but it was a lot of work. Like it took a few weeks to get this done, but I literally at one point I had a jack underneath the house. Like I had a jack and I was jacking up the foundation and lifting it up a few inches to get the boards under that I needed to rebuild all the rotted wood and everything else. So I got video of that. Maybe I'll put it in here. It's pretty cool stuff. Like I'm pretty proud of that. But on top of that, like I took all the work that I did. I put it together. Like I learned a lot from building the house or working on the house in the ghetto. I learned a lot from the tenants over there. But then I rolled it over into this house and actually built something I was proud of. Like the one in the ghetto, it was like polishing a turd. I could go over there and do stuff, but it was still a turd. This house was just waiting to be polished and lived in again. So I'm pretty stoked on how it all turned out. I still got a lot of projects to do. A lot of people are like, oh, how's your house coming? Are you done? I was like, well, you're never really done. You know, you're never done. I want to build a deck. I want to do this. I got to do that. I got to do some landscaping. We did it, worked on the inside in the spring. And then the summer came when it was really hot. The inside was all done during the summer. In the spring, we actually did all the work on the inside because we had to get livable. My brother came down, he helped me out with it quite a bit. And getting it livable, once we did that, the summer hit here in North Carolina and it was so ungodly hot, we couldn't really do a whole lot to the outside. So it's the beginning of September right now. Hopefully it cools off here shortly and I can start getting some of the outside work done. But at the end of the day, I'm extremely proud of it. I really am. I'm just really pumped on how the final product turned out. People come over all the time and they'll say, wait, you did all this? Like they look at me and they're like, well, you ride BMX bikes. Like, what do you mean? Like you did this? And I'm like, yeah, dude. I got stuff to do, man. I watch YouTube a lot. I learn a lot of things, and it's one of those little secret talents that I don't think a lot of people realize. And it was just over enough time. If you do stuff for long enough, you start to acquire different talents, abilities, and skills. And I always keep learning, and I always be an open book. And that's what led me to flipping not one but two houses. So the first house was basically a forced savings account, and now this one I've got a ton of equity in, and it all started with that $200. And I'm happy to say. So keep it rolling, keep it moving, and I can't wait to do another one soon. And thanks for watching, guys, or thanks for listening. I appreciate it.